Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
I am honored to preach to you today on Father's Day. I believe God gave a special word for West Campus today to help you guys on what it means to mature as a Christian. We always talk about growth. We always talk about maturity as a believer, as a follower of Jesus. But how does that actually look? What are the steps that we need to take to get there? And I believe the story of the prodigal son is such a great picture of what it means to mature in Christ, or what it means to grow up in Christ. And so we're going to take a look at that at Luke chapter 15. So Jesus is teaching to a bunch of people, the Pharisees. He's teaching to the disciples. But the Pharisees, the religious people, were saying, how does this guy sit and eat with sinners? You know, and so he speaks to them in parables. And he gives the three parables, and the last one is the parable of the prodigal son. And so I'll kind of paint a picture, but we'll start off from verse 13 on Luke chapter 15. So these two boys, out of the two boys, the younger boy decides that he wants to get his share of the estate. And normally that is done after the father passes away. But in that time and day, it was okay to receive it early. So he received it early. And then in verse 13, it says that not long after, the young son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. Say, real mature, bro. Oh, yeah, the title of the message is called Real Mature. Forgot to mention that. So this is him choosing to be independent now. You know, when you grow up, it's at some point you leave your parents' house. You become independent. You make your own money. You make your own decisions. You pay rent. You pay your phone bill. All that stuff, right? And so this is him going out independence, but it's independent from his father at home. He's not dependent on his father at home. It says in verse 14, after he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself, another version says, attached himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So you might be thinking, okay, he lost all his money. Someone told him to grow up. Someone told him to get mature. And he gets this job. And you think, this is good. This is independence, right? I'm getting this job now. And I'm going to spend for myself. I'm going to make my own money. But he's in this pen of pigs. And he's feeding these pigs. And then he's wanting to eat the pods the pigs were eating. I think there's a picture of pods, because I didn't know what pods were until I Googled it. And it is not a pretty sight. You don't want to eat it. If the picture could go up soon, that'd be great. But no pressure, team. And it's not something you want to look at. It's not appetizing. But because he was in so much in need, oh, it's hard to see. So think of soybeans, you know, soybeans, and there's like, when you open the green part up, there's beans inside. It's like that, but it's black, and it's brown inside. And so it's what the pigs ate. It was the poorest food for people to eat. And so they fed it to the pigs. And this guy wanted to eat it because he was so in need. And then it said in verse, it said that, but they wouldn't give him anything. And then in verse 17, it says, when he came to his senses. So he came to his senses, and he's like, man, what am I doing here? Why am I here with all these pigs? I went out to travel. I went out to find my purpose. This can't be my purpose. And I'm feeding these pigs, and now I want to eat what they're eating. Man, when I was at my father's home, I was eating way better than this. And it said he came to his senses, and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I'm starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. So you can picture him in the pen, already rehearsing what he's going to say. Probably rehearsing to a pig what he's going to say to his father. He's playing it out in his head. He's like, okay, he's got to accept me now. I'm going to come to him as saying that I want to be your servant. He's going to accept me now, right? And this story is such a good picture of what it means to mature. See, our church is in the, we love people experiencing God, but part of experiencing God is to mature in your faith, to actually grow. We don't want you to stay the same. God's intention is not for you to stay the same. But as you take steps of faith, as you take steps out of your comfort zone, you're going to grow. And the things that the world tries to bring at you is not going to shake you anymore because you have this strong, solid foundation in who you are. And part of who you are is knowing who God is. So in Colossians 1:28, him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present to everyone mature in Christ. I want to speak to anyone that depends on themselves, that depends on their strength, depends on their finances, depends on their resources, and they're feeling depleted. They're feeling like it's failing. They're feeling like it's not measuring up. And I want to encourage you to depend on God. I want to encourage you to depend your strength. Find your strength from our God in heaven. And as you find your strength, as you depend on him, you will walk and run on your purpose. See, I love little Janie is not here today. She's normally in the front row. Is there a picture of little Janie? I also got a picture because Katie just sent me this during the first sermon saying she's rooting you on. So she's actually sick today, but she still looks so dang cute. I also looked at it, and it kind of looks like that Katie's faking it and like just put a cloth on her and skipping church. But she's legitimately sick, and I love her. And she's so dependent right now as a child, right? As a baby, you're very dependent. Like even yesterday, she wouldn't sleep on her own. We're teaching her to be independent because we want her to sleep by herself. You know what I'm saying, Bruno and Priscilla, right? New parents. But she just wanted to sleep with us. And she wanted to sleep on our arms. She wanted to rest on my belly. She wanted to just be in there, you know? This is like the comfortable spot for her. You know, you see, you're nodding your head. You know as well. So dads, we want to grow our bellies because it's all about the kids. You know what I'm saying? It's all about making them feel at home, making them feel comfortable. And I love it. I love holding her. I love doing it. But we eventually grow up. We eventually become independent. We eventually have knowledge of how things work. We make our own decisions, right? In my culture, that thing of dependence or independence doesn't exist because my mom always wants me to depend on her. Every time she comes to my house, she's like, Jerry, can you put some cream on you? You're dark. She thinks that cream is going to help me or something or whatever. She like brings the Nivea cream like as a birthday gift. I'm like, I'm not going to use it. This is not a birthday gift. Don't give this to me. She still tries to get me to rely on her. Like even when we invite her for dinner, she's like, come home for dinner. You know, she brings dinner. It's just like I said, we would make you dinner. It's like, oh, no, I brought dinner. You know, it's this thing that will never let her go. She wants me to always depend on her. Even sometimes I don't live there anymore. Before when I was single, she used to ask me to move back home. And I'm like, man, I'm looking at all my friends and their parents are trying to kick the kids out. My parents are trying to get me to come back. And even now, being married, we were making a plan to drop off Janie because we were going to a wedding. She's like, oh, why don't you sleep over? It's like this security she has that if we depend on them, she just wants us to be there. But we got to grow up. Like, mom, I'm independent. I'm a father now. I don't depend on you as much. That's the world we live in, right? So when it comes to our spiritual maturity, though, I think it's the other way around. So when it comes to our spiritual maturity, we are actually growing to be more dependent on our Father in heaven as opposed to less. And that's my first point. Maturity is more dependence on God, not less. So I'm taking parental leave. And I was so excited for this. Like, you know, because my wife is self-employed and we didn't prep in time for her to contribute to mat leave, whatever. So I took it. And I was anticipating this. I was waiting for the date because Katie took off a month and a half, and then I'm taking off 8 months. And it's so funny telling people that, yeah, I'm going to be on parental leave. I'm like, yeah, I'm pregnant, you know. And I didn't even tell that Katie was pregnant. I just said, I'm pregnant, because I felt like, you know, I felt like I was carrying the baby. I wasn't, but you know what I mean? Like, I was just so excited. So I'm like, I'm pregnant. I'm taking pat leave. And they're like, oh, good for you. You're just taking 1 month and like, you know, and I'm like, nope, taking 8 months. And they're like, they pause a bit and they're like, oh, good for you. And then it's like one of those smiles that stays a bit. And the smile, it kind of goes to a confusing look. Ah, yeah, good, good. I'm like, man, I'm just going to stop telling people that we're pregnant. I'm going to stop telling people I'm going on parental leave, because it was like, they were like, it felt like they were judging me. It felt like I was letting those, it wasn't even bad words. It was good words, good for you. But that impression, the context, the face, it actually kind of affected me. The first week of pat leave, I was excited and I was loving it. I remember even going to Pastor Jess, and Pastor Jess was like, how is it going? And I'm like, it's great. And then I'm like, but I thought I would have more time to do things. And she just laughed at me because she knows what it's like. I have a massive, huge honor and respect for stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads like myself, because it's not an easy job. And I remember feeling these thoughts of insecurity come in. I feel these thoughts of doubt, like, man, am I in the right place? Was this the right decision? Was I supposed to do this? And then Katie pulled it out on me. She saw it, and she's like, man, what's going on? She didn't say, man, what's going on? But it's like, Jerry, what's going on? You're quiet. You're not yourself. And I told her what I was feeling. She's like, have you gone to God? I'm like, I've been going to God, but I thought this was part of God's plan for me. So I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to bring it to him. And she's like, what you're doing in raising our daughter has so much purpose. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take that, but now I'm going to go to God. The thing is, church, I was finding my sense of validation from my job. I was finding my sense of validation, what I was doing from 9 to 5. But really, I needed to get my sense of validation from our Father in heaven. See, when we go to our Father in heaven, he gives us the vision. He gives us the purpose. The Bible says, without vision, people perish. He is the vision deliverer. He renews our thinking. He renews our purpose. Just as much as Janie depends on me as a father, I depend on my Father in heaven. And that's what we need to grow. As we mature, we become more dependent. You know, even at, I had the honor to go to Good Shepherd Ministries yesterday with Love Toronto, with Sarah Sam and Josh. And we met a guy named Joey. This is second story. You're getting two stories today. We met Joey at the end outside, and he was just telling me how he met God and how he was at a point where he wanted to commit suicide, okay? And he hasn't talked to his son in 9 years, his son who lives in PEI. And he got a text from his son saying, Dad, I know you're in drugs again, but don't give up. And this was right when he was about to commit suicide. And he received this as a message from God. And now he's in this D.A.R.E. program, doing this D.A.R.E. program, going to church. I actually invited him to come to our church, but he's like, I got my other church to go to. So I was like, all good, man. You go to that church. And he has a relationship with Jesus. He recorded his testimony on a piece of paper and read it in a phone, and I listened to it. And he was talking about how he was, after that, he listened to Amazing Grace. And there was a part about the chains being broken, and he felt that addiction being broken from his life. And I was like, what the heck? He was a father, but as a father, he needed to depend on the Heavenly Father as well. As children, we still need to depend on our Father. We might be independent in our world that we live in, but more and more, as we depend on him, we become more dependent on our Heavenly Father, and he keeps us on our purpose. It's not optional. It's something we must do. It's something where we find all the fulfillment, all the fullness that he promises us. Independence, the word independence, the dictionary just says, free from outside control, not depending on another's authority. It says, not depending on another for livelihood or subsistence. In other words, depending on yourself. See, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, i.e. avoid independence. Don't lean on your own dependence. Don't lean on depending on yourself. Don't lean on depending on your money. In all your ways, submit to him. Depend every area of life towards God. Not just the thing that you want. All things depend on him. And it says he will make your paths straight. Last week's message was God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to purpose, the path. The path was the purpose. He will make your purpose straight. He will show you what your purpose is. We depend on him, though, with every area, with every aspect of our life. See, the prodigal son's path was a little bit messed up. It no longer was straight for him. He thought it was straight. It probably felt good carrying the chunk of change he was carrying. I picture him in his room because it said, it was interesting, it said after a few days he left. He had some time to process. He had some time to count all he had. Maybe in his room throwing the bills out, you know? Just celebrating it. You think, you know those videos where everyone's just putting money? That was him. Maybe coins. It was coins, dropping coins everywhere. And I wonder what happened in his heart where he was like, man, I don't need to depend on my father anymore. Look how much money I got. I'm just going to use this and be independent. See, the thing is, church, even in our independence, we're going to depend on things. Even when we're independent, trying to do our own thing, we're going to depend on things. What we need to be careful, though, are those things that we're depending on, are they actually becoming things that are ruling us? Are they becoming things that are putting us into bondage? Because when he became in need, the prodigal son, he ended up, that's a picture of bondage, being in this pen of pigs, feeding them the pods. See, independence can be closely related to pride. Now, I'm not saying, hey, listen, quit your job or like, don't do any work in the house because you're dependent on God. I'm saying don't get it twisted to what it means to grow in the kingdom. I'm saying don't get it twisted what it means to mature in Christ. See, pride, it sounds like it's our need to fix the situation. It's our need to take control. It's our need to make us count for something. Kind of sounds a bit like independence. See, pride will always say that our way is better. It would also say that our way is better over God's way. It would always say, take your route, not God's route. But the thing is, like the prodigal son, your pride will take you away from the purpose God has for you. Because pride doesn't exist in God's purpose. It doesn't go together. Because it's always going to be your way. But the thing is, our Father in heaven has a better way. Don't you think the person who created you knows the plan the best for you? But we need to depend on him. We need to go to him. Who and what we depend on will dictate how far we go. Who and what we depend on will dictate how far along we get in our purpose. The who is Jesus. The what is faith. This is the thing that will get you forward in your maturity. In verse 17, it says that he came to his senses. How good is it coming to your sense sometimes? It's good to come to your sense. The prodigal son was at his lowest point. That picture of humiliation, it actually humbled himself. It took him to a point of humility where he was able to come to his sense. He was able to actually think clearly. And he realized, man, I got to go back to my father. The servants have leftover food. I will go back as a servant. He realized something there, church. He realized that the purpose was not in his money. The purpose was not in his job, but the purpose was attached to his father. It never said he went back home. It never said he went back to the village. It said he went back to his father. The Bible says he is the vine. I'm the branch. The branch can only bear fruit if it's connected to the vine. I can only bear fruit. I can only walk in my purpose. I can only have the power to walk in my purpose when I'm connected to the vine, which is our Heavenly Father. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. See, in this humble moment of him, he had the most wisest thought he would ever have. And that's to return to his father. That's to return to his father and be attached to him. See, our maturity is about more dependence, but it will require humility to recognize that. To depend less on ourselves, to depend less on our finances for our worth, depend less on our friends for affection, but to depend more on God. See, it wasn't about what he did, it was about who he was with. See, some of us need to hear that. It's not about what we're doing. See, it was interesting that the prodigal son came back and said, I want to be a servant. So it doesn't matter if you have a 9-to-5 job. It doesn't matter if you work at Timmy's. It doesn't matter if you're on pat leave, Jerry. What matters is you're attached. You're connected to your Father in heaven because he gives you the purpose that you need. Some of us need to hear that. You might be wondering how you got where you got. You might be wondering, like the prodigal son, how did I get to be with all these pigs? How did I get to Toronto? How did I even get to this place? I had a good back home. How did I get to this job? I studied so hard. I got my degree, but I'm working in this job. Let me tell you something. You connect yourself to the Father. He will give you purpose that you need to fulfill the mission that he's called you to fulfill. I'm not a stay-at-home dad anymore. I'm a slay-at-home dad. Switch on. But I needed to humble myself. I needed to humble myself. See, a lot of people will tell us to grow up. Get mature. Real mature, Jerry. Grow up. Get a job. Move out. My mom's like, grow up. Move in. Understand how much we love you. But I think the message that we need to hear when it comes to our spiritual maturity is to grow down, to humble ourselves. And that's my second point. Growth also happens downwards. Grow down. See, humility allows us to set our roots deep down. But it's our pride that wants us to plant ourselves into baseless things. It wants us to plant ourselves in our job. It wants us to plant ourselves in our career. It wants us to plant ourselves in that relationship to get that affection. But it's baseless because when the winds come, when the storms come, we get uprooted and turned away. But when we root ourselves in Jesus, the roots go deep and intertwine and connect to the love of God that he has for us. Nothing can separate that. Nothing could separate that love. See, if we don't grow down, we will never grow up. If we don't grow down on who Christ is and knowing who Christ is, because that's where identity comes from, we will never grow up. Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankness. See, the revelation I had was I wasn't rooted in my job. I wasn't rooted in how much I made. I was rooted in my relationship with Jesus. We are not rooted in what the world tells us to root ourselves in. We're not rooted in the clothes. We're not rooted in the money. We're not rooted in the fame, but we're rooted in Jesus. That's where our nourishment comes from. That's where our encouragement comes from. That's where our affirmation comes from. That's where our love comes from. And check this, when you depend on God and you realize that you're rooted in him, you are able actually to give your best to the other person. So you think in marriage, everybody wants to get married, right? Because they want someone to depend on. And it's so true. I love that I could lean on my wife a bit. I said a bit, not fully. Because sometimes she's going to have a hard day. Sometimes she's not going to realize maybe to encourage me, to affirm me. And it's a constant work and progress, right? But see, I go to God first to get my affirmation. And when I go to God first and I depend on him, then actually I could give my best to my wife. Because we are going to hear rejection. We are going to feel rejection from people. We are going to feel hurt from people. We're going to experience discouragement from people. What do we do with that? If we don't do anything with that, it becomes a reflection of who we are. And then we walk in it. We talk in it. The way people see us, it's like we're prideful all the time. Because we have this reflection of this insecurity and of this doubt. But when I give it to God and I actually let him say who I am, then I'm able to be secure and confident in who I am. That reflection is not there. The only reflection is Jesus. And then as I speak to people and talk to people, I become more like God and they can see Jesus in me. That's what keeps us in our purpose. That's what keeps us firm and secure. See, the prodigal son, he had no roots. right? He had no roots. He needed to come back to his humble roots. And it wasn't home. It was his father. It was his father. See, we could be going to church every Sunday. We could just be going to church on Father's Day. We could be going to church once a month. We could be going to connect groups. We could be serving on teams. You know, we could be doing all the right things that say, oh, this is how it matures you, right? And for sure that helps. But without a relationship with Jesus, without being rooted in the Father and his son Jesus, it was all meaningless. Because our growth, our maturity is founded on the love of God. Because out of that overflow is where I serve like it changes the world. Out of that is where I attend Connect Group and be open and honest and receive what people are saying, receive what my leaders are saying, grow in teachability. It's out of that is how we grow. And we can't miss the main ingredient. That's the main ingredient for our walk with God. That's the main ingredient for our maturity in Christ. I'll get the band up. Sweet. They're all here. You guys want to all look at them while they're walking up? Yeah, take your time. Oh, yeah, a little wave. CeCe, what a legend. That girl's rooted in Jesus. Have you seen her pray? My gosh. See, Christian maturity is not about the knowledge we can acquire. It's not about the knowledge we have. It's not about the independent lifestyle we live. Christianity is about the knowledge of the love of God that he has for us. It's about the knowledge of the gospel that Jesus died for us and rose again so our sins are forgiven. It's about the knowledge of his grace. That his grace extends to any person, anywhere. That's the love of God. Maturity is knowing how much he loves us here and how much he loves us here. And it's through faith. It's through belief in your heart. See, it's not like a flower. Anybody remember Little Rascals? Somebody does, that's for sure. And he, then there's a flower, and he's like, he loves me, she loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. And maybe we're like that with God. He loves me, but this happened, so he loves me not. He loves me this way, but then this happened, he loves me not. Let me correct you. It's he loves me because he loves me. 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 I depend on him a bit more. I depend on him in my finances. I see how much he loves me. I depend on him for a healthy marriage. I see how he loves me. Because my validation comes from him. Because my affirmation comes from him. I depend on him. And I see how much he loves me. Our dependence will show how much he loves us. We just need to take the step of faith. We just need to take a step out of their comfort zone. We just need to give him an opportunity to show us how much he loves us. Shout out to the back. Back row is alive. Check this out, Ephesians 5. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. And to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. How wide, how long, how high, how deep is his love for you? To know that is two things. It's to believe in faith and to spiritually experience. So to know his love, you got to experience it. And you experience it by walking out. You experience it by depending on him. And you will experience how deep his love is. You will experience that when you feel like you're at the bottom of the pit, you feel like you're so deep that no one could pull you out, his love will pull you up. His love has depth. You might feel like you're so far gone. There's so much distance between you and God because you don't know how, you don't know the Bible really well. Let me tell you something. His love is an everlasting love, and it has the length to reach you wherever you might be. And His love is so high that when you feel like the weight of the world is pressing you down, His love is going to lift you up. His love is going to take, it's going to elevate you. And how wide, Jerry, my sin, it seems too big. It seems too wide. My circumstance seems too big. His love covers it. His love is so wide that it will cover it. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And we're going to read this last part in the scripture. So the prodigal son went to the father. And it said, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son came in his filth, in his dirt, feeding the pigs, smelling like crap. And he didn't know if he would be accepted, so he said, I'm going to come as a servant. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to grow up, Dad. I'm going to come back and tell him I'm going to grow up. But the father saw him from a distance. He didn't wait for him to get to him. He didn't wait on his chair and be like, come crawling to me. He was filled with compassion. He ran to him. He met him where he was at. He kissed him despite the dirt, despite the filth. He said, hey, servants, get this guy the best robe. Get him a ring that symbolizes honor. Humility comes before honor. And he embraced them. They celebrated. I don't know where you're at, but I want to tell you that God wants to meet you where you're at. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if I'm ahead. It doesn't matter if I'm behind. God will meet us wherever we're at. His love will extend. This story is a picture of how wide, how deep, and how long, and how high God's love. And this is a picture of us as prodigal sons coming home to our Father. This is the house of God. This is not the house of C3 Toronto community. This is the house of God. What makes this home is the presence of God. What makes this home is the Holy Spirit that is in this place. And the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and touch you today. We're going to sing this song, and I'm going to invite you guys to come down to the altar, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands, and if you are feeling depleted and you need that touch of heaven, you need that touch of God, that reminder of how much He loves for you, I want you to come down and we're going to pray with you.